need a little help here.
Are you okay?
I must get to the other side.
The other side? You mean that just now? That was you crossing the road? That's why the... Why'd you do that?
This is my quest. He waits for me.
What? Who?
The spirit of the West, amigo. The one. They say he rides an alabaster carriage with golden guardians to protect him.
What are you talking about?
Enlightenment. We are nothing without it.
Nothing? Your delusional quest just ruined my life. I had an incredibly complex social network going. Highly sophisticated friends. I was very popular.
Friends? I don't see no friends.
Well,
You are a very lonely lizard. Now, help me up, and I will help you find what you seek.
You will?
Quickly now. I must get back to my quest.
You mean you've done this before?
Oh, yes, many times. Yeah. Come, come. That's it. Pull my finger. The spirit is waiting for me.
Okay. Okay. That's not gonna work.
I must get to the other side.
Why don't you just wait until there are no cars coming?
It's not so easy as it looks.
The what?
It's a metaphor.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. And no, we're not talking about Taken tonight.
Why would don't? Can we just pretend it didn't happen and move on with our lives?
First
Taken was pretty good. This is Damien.
And this is Brad.
Sadly, Taken has become one of those movies. I haven't watched the first one in a long while. Mm-hmm. Where, due to how horrible the sequels are, I'm starting to question how good the first movie was.
That is honest.
I think that's a fair... That's a fair assessment. Stance to take.
I cannot blame you for the movie.
So Taken 3 wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but we're only comparing it to Taken 2.
Oh, yes.
The nightmare shell state. It's just like The Hangover. Everyone's like, the third one.
No.
I mean, when you compare it to that second one, though,
it's still horrendous.
I think I watched the third one. Did I see the third
yes,
one?
Yes, I think I you saw it eventually because you had picked it that year.
Yeah.
And even you came up and you're like, don't you?
Holy shit. I think Hangover is the movie that has happened. Like, I don't even trust that the first one was good. Because of the second two. Like, I haven't seen it in a lot. I watched the first one a lot when it came out. And ever since those sequels hit, I've just not watched any of them. I don't even think I have any of them on the at all. Which is...
I know we have the first one on Blu-ray. You have the first one on Blu-ray, right?
Yeah, I think I do.
But stop talking about bad movies as we move in to discuss.
Actually, I think talking about bad movies is the perfect way to begin this podcast.
The Ira Sachs film. This week, I wanted us to talk about the Ira Sachs film. Love is Strange, the movie from last year starring Alfred Molina and John Lithgow as they are evicted from their homes after Alfred Molina loses his job because he got married to John Lithgow. He left.
Yes, that
they sold.
Yes.
Your love, your dedication, your commitment to each other are an example to be followed.
Word got out to the Archdiocese.
You've all known this whole time that Ben and I have been living together.
The decision is effective immediately.
Now, we invite you all here today because, well, your family. With my private lessons and Ben's pension, we need a place to stay.
Why are we even talking about this? I'm the only one with the extra bedroom.
No, it's not about that, Mindy. It's Poughkeepsie.
I think that's the same as when people say that he wasn't fired, he resigned.
No, no, he got fired, he had no money, but he could sell his house for money. That's what happened.
I want to watch this movie in a Jamaican theater.
Why would you do that on a Monday?
On a Monday.
We're taking threes of it, right? So yeah, Iris gave a plot of this movie. They leave their home, and due to their circumstances, i.e. living in New York City and wanting to still live in the city, their living situation ends up being kind of crazy for a little while, in which they end up having to live apart with separate members of family. And they end up in these strange experiences because, as Lithgow says at one point, you get to know people in a certain way that you didn't really think you wanted to whenever you get to live with people. And I actually really love this movie. I thought it was kind of great. And the thing about it is that when I think about it, I think I like this movie in the way Damien kind of liked Enough Said, which is a movie I rewatched recently, in that I don't think this is anything particularly fantastic or something that elucidates anything that you didn't really think about. It's just very small, very simple, and all of the tiny, really warm, really funny moments kind of just shine when they pop up, right? Douglas and I, we were watching this, and we were laughing at all of the craziness that was going on. We saw all of the dynamics of the families, and we'd laugh at some dumb stuff. Every time we saw Molina and Lithgow together and they take a crack at things going on around them, I thought it was just great. That's where I think this movie shines brilliantly. For all those people out there throwing it on top 10 lists, I don't think, right? I don't think it would come near. It's one of those movies where I'd feel very comfortable throwing this on for almost anyone, right? Where it's not too difficult. It's not one of those crazy movies we like to watch, like Ida or Under the Skin. And at the same time, it's just very simple, very loving, and very warm and funny. I think it's really funny. We know Damien doesn't like this movie.
I know, right? So clearly today is the day of the Three Bears, because Andrew adores this movie. We know. We have listeners. We're kind of shielding you from him at the moment. Mm-hmm. But there's kind of a heat that's going towards the microphone. We had to plug out the power because otherwise, you know, it would just explode. Damien clearly hates this movie with the fire that burns in the gates of hell. But so
is that hell the hell in which Alfred Molina's devil exists?
I think so, except worse.
Okay.
This movie was all right. I didn't mind it. It was an okay movie to spend an hour and a half with. I really love the cast. Alfred Molina is fantastic. John Lithgow, I grew up with John Lithgow. He's great.
He's an alien.
Yeah, he is an alien.
30 Rocks from the Sun. I love seeing
30 Rocks from the Sun.
I just love it. I don't even remember where that joke came from.
What?
I heard that joke somewhere, and it has stuck with me forever. I don't remember who said it. I imagine that
the person who said it is sitting to your right, and they just said it by accident. They tried to.
I don't even remember if it was me.
I just remember that part. I mean, so happy when I heard it.
Yeah, they're but you know, and like this movie has some cool things. Like as Andrew said, there were a bunch of jokes that we laughed at that were just dumb things. It's not even jokes that I would imagine were intentionally supposed to be funny, just things that we found funny. And some of them would take a while. Like there'd be an intro and then a little while and then a little while and then they'd call back and I'd be like, ah, look at that. For me, I thought, you know, there were some failings to this movie. I thought in particular at the end, there's a bit of a jump that just doesn't quite make sense to me. It feels like it was unnecessary. But to kind of temper that, to kind of go the other side, again in the end, there was a scene that I actually really love. One of the children is crying, and that's a great scene. I really like that. He's on the stairwell, and you don't ever kind of... It's one of those things where, you know, something bad's happened, and he's just walking down the stairs and just gets, I guess, hit by his grief, and it's great. But yeah, this movie, it's just a movie about, you know, two guys and things that they have to deal with and the way that they deal with them. And it's one of those movies. You can put it on and watch it for an hour and a half and not feel one way or the other about it, you know?
Did it make you smile, Damien?
If you have eyes, and 90 minutes. I have a movie for you. This movie is mediocre. There's no burning hatred because it's not bad. There's mm-hmm. nothing like awful about the movie. I didn't feel like it wasted my time. The story doesn't make sense. There's no great feeling of the movie, but there's nothing endearing about the movie. Andrew found things, but I kind of watched the movie. Like you guys said, you laughed a lot.
I wouldn't say a lot.
All right, I think I smiled twice. There's just nothing special. And it's not even a case where I think they like wasted the premise or they could have done something else with the movie that would have maybe made me enjoy it more. I just think it's one of those movies where they made what they wanted to make. It's just not for Damien. It's the thing, like the performances are good because of course they put in all this acting firepower. They put them in situations that you go, oh yeah, these guys can, like everything, nothing felt forced, everything felt natural, but at the end of the day, like the movie ends and you're like, oh well, I guess this was a movie. I guess it's one of those things where I wouldn't recommend this movie to anyone. It feels like, you know, sometimes you ask Max from Netflix, I like these things, pick me a movie, and they pick some movie that you've never heard of, and you go, well, I've never heard of these movies, and that's strange because I've heard of a lot of movies, and then you watch it and you're like, all right, Max, that's really what I was looking for. Yeah. But okay.
Max isn't very nice, you know. You said to Max, listen, what I want to watch, a crime movie. Mm-hmm. And it will recommend you a cartoon television show. Yeah. So, like, I don't...
they're doing some heavy meta tagging. Right? Yeah. Where they're like, in half a scene, someone had a gun at one point. So we're taking that as crime.
Do you like foreign films? Of course. I'd like to watch another foreign film. Those seem to be pretty okay. And then Max brings up something that is British. And I guess Britain is foreign. And then you watch it and you're like, this is okay, I guess. I'm not scratching my eyes out, but like nothing. You go, I won't remember. Like this movie, I saw this movie on Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already started forgetting like things that happened in the movie. Like when I came here, I had to ask you guys if it was the same movie you were watching. So I didn't remember that the scene that you were paused on. And I don't know what you lunatics are watching. It's not memorable to me at all. But clearly there's people that love it.
Oh, there's so much love for this movie.
I've seen people write crazy, crazy things about this movie, which is fine.
Which is part of the reason why I felt it was a movie to pick.
I have a little more time before I'm a film asshole. And then once I'm fully converted over, I think I'm just going to play video games, or I'm going to stop watching movies. Call it a day, because I don't want to be that person.
But then
don't
eventually,
want to be
what
Andrew wants me to be.
But eventually, you'll be that person about video games.
No, video games are too dumb. There's no way. There's literally no way to get that done.
You'll start telling people you have to play this new indie game, which is only like an hour, but it proves so much about the world to you.
No, because there'll always be like XCOM on Shadows of Mordor. I'm going to not play that. Come on. There'll be a Civ 6 with the Interstellar as the intro. Like, alright. Yes.
Have you got that game yet? Civ 6? Okay.
You mean Civ Beyond Earth?
Yes.
It's not Civ 6.
I keep calling it Civ 6.
That's why they change the name, so that they can have real Civ 6.
Come out, like, whenever that comes out.
Sid Meier.
Douglas, you talk about the final scene, and you talk about the jump. And, like, I wasn't quite sure what I felt about it, because when it happens, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I didn't think we were going to deal with this issue. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm no longer gay. What the hell?
And they don't really give any explanation to what really happened. You just kind of have to assume it happened. And the thing about it for me is that, oddly enough, I think I would have liked it more if it had ended in that stairwell when he walks out of frame. Because then it kind of gave value to what was happening in that scene where you were dealing with him coming to terms with me. In my mind, I was thinking partially about how he was treating him while he was living in the house, living in the family's apartment.
Wait, which him are we talking about?
I'm talking about the child.
Okay, because I didn't realize that that's what you were talking about. Okay.
It's a stairwell.
Right,
yes, but there's another scene where John Lithgow goes down a stairwell, and I was wondering if that's what he was talking about.
Well, I was talking about the end. So,
yes, anyways, in the end, yeah, where at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I was thinking it was either one of two choices. It was end it with him when they left the bar, and then he walked down those stairs, and that's the end. Because they already showed you that what they needed to happen in the movie was going to happen. So you really didn't need confirmation at that point.
Actually, I thought that was a weird scene. Because they had essentially implied, right, that Alfred Molina had already gotten the apartment from the guy. But clearly, John Lithgow was going on the subway to go back up to Poughkeepsie. And I was saying, why then are they not living together? Which seemed real strange to me.
What I took from it was that if he hadn't gotten it for sure, it was like in the process. Right.
That's what I had to assume afterwards, right? I was just like, you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. That's what they meant.
Yeah. And they were looking forward to the day. But when you jump forward to the actual end of the movie, when we go outside the child, it felt very strange to me because I wasn't quite certain what was going on there. I mean, you could say that it was a nod back to when they had the conversation in the bunk bed.
That's how I felt. Because clearly, you know, he was like, so you don't have friends. have you ever been in love? And, you know, this whole thing about you should say hello to that girl.
It reminded me a little bit about Good Will Hunting. With the I've got a girl to talk to, or whatever the line was. And it was all right, but for me, like, the ending was either or walking down stairwell moments, right? From the bar or the child leaving, right? When he walks out of frame, that's like perfect. But yeah, I get you, Damien. It's not the kind of movie that hits you in the face and goes, "You are going to love me now." Right, but it was a really enjoyable movie, and I think it mainly is to the merit of these two guys and how they play together, right, as a couple.
I don't do subtlety, right? Right, if your movie has a message, hit me with the message.
Like, and ask you if they're Russian or dragging.
As possible, right? That movie.
Movie
didn't fuck around. It's like, this is what the movie's about.
I wish I had my phone out right now, because I know by the time I take my phone out, this moment is over. I hate these moments. And you guys are just letting it continue to make me hate them even more. So
I'll
for those of you,
I'll kill you.
For those of you who can't see us, we just took a minute-long break to air drum so that we could pay homage to the movie that is called Whiplash.
I'd have to kick off Lord of the Rings to put it on my list. So it wasn't going to happen, but it deserves to be on the top. It's pretty good.
I love that movie so much.
I like it a lot.
I don't know if we're even going to have a real conversation about this, or if you guys are going to be like, Andrew, don't dare bring that up, and we're not talking about it.
Yay!
And we move on to the top five, but we forget this whole bit. If there was one thing that happened in movie news this week, It was the revelatory moment of Dick Poop. Right. So the Oscars were announced.
Oh.
And
I thought you had a stroke a while ago. I have no idea what you're talking about.
First of all, that really wasn't what I was talking about. But on a side note, since you don't know this, during the Oscar nomination announcements, they were nominating Mr. Turner for cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the cinematographer is Dick Pope.
Oh.
The lady said Dick Poop.
Huh?
And of course, the internet went on with it.
As you can see, I spent a lot of time this week following up on Oscar nonsense.
Dick Poop! I just want to let you guys know about Dick Poop because, you know, yeah.
You're 7 years old and you think we're children, honestly. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Not wrong.
Oh, Andrew, this is just. Like, you stop now,
mm-hmm.
but you were almost incapable of stopping the laughter a while ago.
I know.
It was just so much.
I laugh hard, people.
For Dick Poop.
For Dick Poop. So what I wanted to ask you guys about is actually about Oscars.
Right.
Diego Costa is better than Oscar, even though Oscar scored 2 goals.
Right. What about
Diego Costa scored 2
Oscar in the trash can
and assisted one?
What about Oscar from Sesame Street?
I mean, if we look at all the Oscars, there was Pistorius, he killed that super hot girl. And I mean, part of me agrees with him because hot girls have gotten away with nonsense for too long. But he
and
probably
to be fair, he probably was listening to Gonzalez. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. What's his name? What's Sugar Man's name? Garcia
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Gonzalez. Pretty good.
Oh my God.
I'm
What's
not
wrong
racist.
With me?
You know, God, I'd like to just take this moment for everyone to recognize while Douglas was taking jabs at me for being unable to stop laughing. If you look at him right now,
he's dying.
And if we keep talking, he won't stop.
No.
Right?
We can continue this
because we're
like
poking
hours.
Him.
Yeah.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
What's been our record so far? Have we ever kept count? Like, time-wise, how long we've kept him laughing?
I think we should. Right, you know, he was... Oscar Pistorius was listening to Hernandez. Rodriguez. Sanchez.
All right, so
on some racist name. That is not Gonzalez.
And if you think I'm editing this out, it's not happening. So the Oscar nominations came out. And, of course, the internet began its discussion of we hate the Oscars, but God damn it, why don't they love the movies?
Yearly bitching.
Right?
Hey,
yearly
the
bitching.
Oscars are wrong.
Yearly
old
bitching.
White people are wrong.
And while I know, I think we've had this conversation previously, like, I don't think we've actually done it on the podcast, where we've talked about this concept of complaining that someone didn't think your movie was good.
Yes.
Thinking the movie you like is good.
Oh, fucking
right?
Dare you assholes.
And
take my opinion in consideration.
And I mean, I know none of us really take the Oscars seriously ever at all.
I take it very seriously. This is why I don't watch it.
But is there any part of you that when these nominations and when the awards come out that you take any form of vindication? Let's say, for example, in the positive sense, when they actually agree with you.
Right.
Do you feel any sort of, like, someone else thought I was right, this kind of moment?
Maybe when we started this podcast, yes. Because I didn't watch that many, I didn't watch as many movies as I do now. Like, when Oscars used to roll around, it was like a guide to what movies I should be watching. But ever since we started this, we've watched so much goddamn movies that we kind of know what the Oscar nominated movies are going to be. Like, I didn't know that there were, before we started this podcast, that there was, like, Oscar bait movies. that term wasn't in my vocabulary. I didn't know. And so, when we started, I'm like, yeah, this movie should have been an Oscar should nominate and whatever. But then I realized, oh wait, it is not, like, the Oscars aren't for me. Alright? The Oscars are more for people who were like people who love movies but don't follow them as intensely as we do. So the Oscars provides a rough guide to what good movies are.
Just like our top tens.
Right. We would argue that they're run as shit a lot of the times because they put some movies on there like, how the fuck did that get into this?
Exactly.
But then you go, for people who, like, we've already honed our sensibilities and we've seen a lot of the movies, so we can go, don't watch that. But that's, I just see the Oscars now as like a badge. Remember when, like, Nintendo used to put the Nintendo seal of approval on shit? And people are like, oh yeah, this must be good. Right. It's essentially that, but for movies, they're like,
it's like the PlayStation
one. Right.
It's like PlayStation hits.
Yeah. We think this is one of the good ones. Oscar nominating. Yeah. All right, fine. The only thing I still kind of look at and go, that is clearly ridiculous. It's like the best actor category. And I go, I've seen all these movies. There's no fucking way he is the best. And it's a bullshit pick. she's clear. But it's just for best actress. Best actor and best actress. Everything else, shit. Last year when everybody was jumping up and down about 12 Years a Slave, finally a black man took the thing and it proves that there's progress and whatever. I went, yeah, but you shouldn't have won. Yeah, alright.
And of course, this year they're all complaining that the director of Selma isn't nominated, and they're like, no, there's no progress.
Yes, no more progress. Hey, guys, if you're looking towards the Oscars to, like, demarcate progress in the world, you fucked up.
Speaking of which, I'm very happy because next week I'm going to be seeing Steve McQueen.
He's in Jamaica.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
For some, I don't know how these two people got together, but the Jamaica Stock Exchange is holding
I'm still telling you that that's a typo.
I know. It's like a half an hour thing that he's doing where he's going to talk about, I think it said something like film and industry, essentially. Okay. So I'm looking forward to that shit.
I still haven't seen Hunger.
Exactly. And that's the sad thing about it, right? Is the one movie the one movie that I've watched of his that I've actually watched all of, I don't like 12 Years a Slave. But Hunger and Shame, which everybody else loves, I've never watched all of them. I watched like probably the first half hour of Hunger. But that's it.
Shame. I kept giving it chances. It just didn't grow on me. And 12 Years of Slave is a good movie.
I'm thinking out loud now because this is just a strange thought that comes to me. Last week when we did our top 10, Damon, you nominated Boyhood as the Avatar Award, right? And that, like, everyone can honestly say at this point that that's like a front runner to win everything at this point. Because everyone is going to give it it took 12 years. Right, like,
this was a masterpiece.
Right. Just no one is ever going to do this again for another 13 years.
Next one. I took 15 years off my life. Turns out Lars von Trier has been doing this for like 40 years now, since he picked up a camera.
And the truth of the matter is, I don't fully disagree with you on the idea that Boyhood will be relatively forgotten within the next 2-3 years. Right? And I'm trying to think back to Oscar winners that don't fall into that category, right? Because last year was 12 Years a Slave, and I know I haven't watched it since that passed. Mm-hmm. There was
The artist didn't fall into that category. People kept watching that movie.
Their Slumdog Millionaire, no one talks about that at all anymore.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's a difficult Avatar comparison to put it in, because if you think about it this way, right? How many movies do we really talk about? Compare that to how many movies are made, right? It's a difficult category to put movies into. If that's how you judge a good movie, they're like zero good movies.
What is it, like 10% of the internal?
My complaint with Avatar,
1% of one.
When Avatar hits, everybody's like, oh, this is incredible. Like, this is a technical marvel, and this and that, and they're like, people are falling over themselves to give the movie compliments. But the thing about the movie is, it's terrible. Avatar is a terrible movie. And then 1 year later, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that movie is fucking garbage. And I think that is what is going to happen with Boyhood.
Oh, well, I don't think that.
People are going to... Every time I hear people talk about that movie, it is about the technical aspects of that movie. And I'm not saying that what he achieved technically was anything to, like, that is an incredible achievement. And if they're going to give someone Best Director, he should get it. Because what he's done is incredible. The problem is, the movie's fucking bad. It's mm-hmm. not a good movie. So,
well, bad is strong.
It's not good. It's 4 hours. No, it's not good. It's not a good movie. And I foresee next year when, like, the internet might turn on this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to happen. But I think the same thing with Crash. The year when Crash came out, there's people going, Crash is a good movie. Exactly 1 year later, everyone's like, no. No.
I think Boyhood is one of those movies where it's going to take like a decade or so, where it's going to have to be people who weren't really paying attention mm-hmm. when the Oscars happened, when this year happened. And like 10 years from now, in the same way, there's backlash against Citizen Kane, where someone hypes it up so much, right, that by the time you yourself get to it, mm-hmm. you're like, that's nuts. You guys.
That's barely a movie. Three people talking about it.
That was not good. That was okay, I guess. Like,
there's a but Rosebud.
Best movie of movie ever.
Sucks.
Douglas, I already know you think the Oscars is a joke.
It is.
Right. I already know.
You want me to tell you why it's not a it's a joke? Because they did nominate Disturbia. Like, seriously. Seriously.
Are you drunk right now?
I already know
the answer to that is generally yes.
That you haven't watched an Oscars for around 4 years.
If we're going to use that, then we have to like delete everything I just said. Because I haven't seen it in eons.
But is there any form of interest when you start to see this list come out? Because, I mean, the end of the year just went by. We probably... Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say we, because I don't want to put words into your guys' mouths. Many people start...
I don't anything in your mouth.
What about cake?
I'll put the cake in my mouth. Thank you very much. Just put it on a plate.
I have a cookie, though, so...
Uh-huh.
So put the cookie on the plate. And if you have a milkshake, just give me the straw.
Let's stop.
But yeah, so the Oscars, right?
What was I asking?
The thing about Oscars is, right, as you say, I really don't pay attention. I don't watch it. I don't generally care about it. But, right, if I were to somehow stumble onto a list on the internet of the movies, just because I'm curious in general, I will probably read through it and then be that guy who's like, yeah, fuck that movie. Why is that there? No. You know, yep, and then, yep, but that would be about the extent of it to me. It would last for maybe a minute and a half. I would close the window and then I'd move on.
And you go reddit.com/Oscars. And then start typing in all caps.
Honestly, the extent of my interest in the Oscars now at this point has been rekindled only to the extent that I listen to Mamo and therefore must listen to their annual Oscar discussion, which I find interesting because guess what? I love a podcast, but that's it. Yeah, for me, the Oscars just, I don't care about it anymore. I realize now that, you know, as you guys said, it's not, you know, I used to be one of those guys who probably took it as like a personal affront when my favorite movie wasn't nominated. But no, you know, like...
So, okay, one more question. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all you're bound to see my other side, but I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I don't deserve this.
Don't get strong, Danny. This is making sense. This is making a lot of sense.
You are not doing the job. The job I ask you to do. A job I give you. Over and over and over. I'm sorry. But I'm not gonna say I'm sorry much more.
I don't have any money, Solomon. If you fire me...
I pay you! I give you a paycheck! Your sales suck, Don! I give! When I find you, when I meet you, what? I put your name up on a fucking billboard. I put you in my store, my salesman, my fucking representation of Solomon Electronic, the quiz kid Donnie Smith from the game show.
I lent you my celebrity, my name, exactly.
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you! I paid you! I gave you a fucking chance and a chance over and over, and you let me down! I trust you with so much! Keys to my store.
All right, so moving on.
We are Coca-Cola. Yes. We don't use cocaine anymore. It's okay.
So
I love cocaine.
So this week, I wanted us to discuss for our top five to be the top five Alfred Molina characters. Because Alfred Molina is one of those actors who seems to me to just appear in everything. And no matter how tiny a part he has, like most times, he stands out and is kind of amazing. I thought, why not? And I'm almost afraid to give Douglas the start because that means he steals everything from me.
You know?
But let's see how this goes. Douglas, would you like to start us off?
I would like to start us off. Now, Alfred Molina, I really do like this guy. He's awesome. And my number five, which I'm going to start off with, actually, like, I've decided I'm not going to change anything on my list yet. Right? I actually have enough that I could, but I'm not going to. My number five is something that I won't steal from anybody based on the conversations we've had already. My number five is a movie that I've watched a couple times recently because it's been on TV and it's a fun movie. It's Chocolate, where he plays the Comte de Renaud, or whatever, however you pronounce that shit. And he's... You see, this is... another one of those movies, which is why I love him so much, right? So, no matter how... well, it can be fully serious, but no matter how not funny your movie is trying to be, if you have any sort of comic relief in, like, some side character, just give it to him. Because he knows how to milk the shit out of that. And he does it in this movie real well. You know... If you haven't watched it, it's a movie about essentially this town in Europe that's, you know, they're uber religious and uber like, this is Easter, you can't do anything bad. And some like crazy lady comes in with a chocolate store says, no, you can do bad things. Here you go.
Here's some sin.
Exactly. Just eat some sin, please.
Holy shit.
And she's like the devil. Alfred Molina is like, you could consider him essentially the mayor, the head of the town. And he does so much to try and like fuck with this lady. And in the end, he breaks down and, you know, crazy things. It's just so great. I really like this movie.
You know what's sad? Now that you're describing this, yeah. I remember. Like, I'm remembering his performance.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, I kind of can remember a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember anything. Like, I don't remember it being special.
Well, no, and that's the thing about a lot of his movies and a lot of, like, nothing is really that special, but at least in the sense of like it being framed that way. But if you sit down and you watch it, right, and you think about what it took for him to make you giggle.
Yeah, I
you
think
know?
That is the thing, like, that I'm not doing. I think I'm not divorcing like the movie from like his performance, because he's, as you said, at the top, he's just like, he's good in everything.
Yeah,
he doesn't really have bad performances, but because he's been in so much and I've seen him literally like scattered through so many things, it all becomes kind of homogenized. It just feels like, oh, we just add some Molina to this for flavor, a dash of Molina for flavor.
They realized it was a bland movie, and they're like, cast Molina in the bitter role, and we'll have something for the reviewers to talk about.
What is he doing? Absolutely nothing. They're splashing him on something over there. So I'm going to start by cheating. My number five, he plays the devil in Rick and Morty. And that is still my favorite episode of Rick and Morty. Because it is magic. There's so much. I have talked about Rick and Morty a lot. It saddens me that more people haven't seen it. People keep asking me, what is that? And I just want to go over there and sit them down and go, you have to watch all of this. Just give me one episode and I will prove to you why this is the best cartoon on TV. But no one does. But yeah, that he plays the devil. The devil owns a shop where he is selling enchanted items for little or no money. And Rick goes in and he is he was essentially taking off the hexes off of the
de-hexing.
And it was a thing of beauty.
It was fun, yeah. It was great.
So good.
When is that show coming back?
Like summer.
Mm.
It's a long time.
Oh, it's actually coming back?
Yeah.
I just imagined that it wouldn't.
No, it got greenlit really quick.
Yeah.
We didn't know when it would be coming back. And I know Hannibal got pushed till summer now.
He was trying to wrap up.
I was looking forward to that shit. I was like, yes, it must be starting now.
He was wrapping up. God damn it. Community for Yahoo TV. I cannot wait for Yahoo. You know Yahoo.
Yeah, I know Yahoo took it over.
Production host right, that's
yeah,
making.
Yahoo TV has been doing just a stellar job all these years. They've made absolutely nothing.
Dude, listen. They had the Ken Marino show.
Let's please just take this for what it is, which is essentially it's a Netflix deal to keep it going. It's the same thing.
Let's just hope.
I just hope that they won't say naughty words, because if they go there, right, I just feel that they're going to be, that to me is going to be an indicator that they're just going to do foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not going to work. But we'll see.
Season 5 was mediocre.
Season 5, was that the last season?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
4
that.
Was a train wreck.
4 was horrible. Season 5 was okay.
Yeah, but that's, I don't come to Community for okay.
Right.
are you kidding me?
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Kidding me.
But if they were to make a season 6, I wouldn't stop myself from watching it.
No, I'm not going to watch it. I don't
care. We were ready to give up when 4 was over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We were ready to throw it into the trash, right?
Out.
Right? And then 5 brought us back, and I'm all right. My number 5 goes to Throw Me the Idol, I'll Throw You the Whip. as Alfred Molina blazes a trail for himself.
Throw Me the Whip, and I'll Throw You the Idol.
as he plays Satipo in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Something about that sounds racist.
He probably is. Come on, guys. It's one of those bits where, like Damien was here going, like, I don't know who he's in that movie when I described him to you.
So
you
were smiling.
You knew exactly what scene I was talking about. And that's what I'm talking about, Molina. Even if he's in one scene in the movie.
He gets.
Right? I will love it.
Okay. So, let's start with the Disney movies. Because there have been quite a few that he's been in. The first one we're going to talk about is The Sorcerer's Apprentice. He plays Horace.
Sorry.
Have you watched this movie? If the answer is yes, then you know what I'm talking about. If the answer is no, then you need to fucking watch this movie. Because it's way better than it deserves to
but
be.
But it's called The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I know, but it's
Nick
so
Cage
good.
Is in it.
It's
all right,
so good,
Damien. Damien.
Oh, sorry.
We're talking about Sprinklings of Molina,
mm-hmm.
right? When I think of The Sorcerer's Apprentice, I think of one specific scene. With Sprinklings of Molina. If I remember correctly,
uh-huh.
Molina comes out of a vase.
Yes.
Right? Which he is trapped in for a while. When he comes out, he's greeted with a child who is grown up. And he said, look, child, when I got stuck in this vase, I took your school bag. And all that was left for me to read for 10 fucking years was your book reports.
Yes.
Right? From when he was like 6. Right? And he starts giving him a scathing criticism of his writing.
It's pretty good.
If we're talking about Sprinklings of Molina.
That's pretty good.
And he doesn't stop with that character, as far as I'm concerned, throughout that movie.
All right.
Like, you can talk about how horrible that movie is and Nick Cage is in it, but if we're talking about Molina-ness...
I've never seen the movie. Because I'm afraid.
Like, the movie is what you expect it to be, right? It's dumb. It's not, like, a real movie.
What?
But it just works right. It works
really?
Right. So, Damien, what is your number four?
Keeping with the Disney theme. There is a prince, and he comes from Persia.
Taxes.
And Molina is just ridiculous. Alright, ostrich races are some of the dumbest things. He's so...
So Damien.
Yes.
Imagine that,
mm-hmm.
and just put it in Sorcerers. That's it. That's all it is.
It's just him.
Yeah.
Alright.
And they came out the same year, too. So
Was it the same
year? Yes, it was. So for me, those two movies are like just completely intertwined. I can't think of one without the other.
And you saw Molina here. Yeah. What in God? Who dressed up this great man as whatever this is? And he's talking like, this is the dumbest thing.
What happened was Johnny Depp's thing in Pirates of the Caribbean got popular. They're like, Molina, put on your Jack Sparrow.
Johnny Depp can't come. You're up.
My number four goes to one of my favorite movies as a child. It's called Maverick, and he plays the character of Angel.
Yep.
He plays really angry. Let's say, for lack of a better word, he plays Maverick's rival, who is chasing him throughout the movie, keeps losing to him in cards, and then tries to hang him at some point. It's kind of amazing. I just love, like, it took me a little while when I saw it in the IMDb list. He's in Maverick.
Yeah.
And I started to think about, that's who Angel is.
Yep.
Definitely one of my favorite
Because
cards.
The last time I watched that movie properly, I was probably that age when it came out. And who was Alfred Molina to me at that point, you know?
Nobody.
So yeah, it took me a while and I was like,
And I mean, I love that character.
So Damien.
Yes.
Have I told you about the M'Baka?
Yes.
Because that movie. Right? My list isn't really a top five Molina movies. My list is clearly a top five Disney movies because, you know, Sheikh Amar is who he plays in The Prince of Persia. And I can't even speak. As Damien has already put it, he is just fucking fantastic in that movie.
I wonder if we all share the same number one at this point.
No, we don't.
There's a spider pig. And he can't swing from a limb because he's a pig. Here comes the spider. When I went back and watched Spider-Man 2, because I thought, I just liked everything from Spider-Man 2. Like, it's some great movie that, and I just hadn't seen it in a while. Turns out Molina is the reason why. It's his character. Peter Parker was the same bitchy, whiny asshole that he was in the first movie. And then Molina brought gravitas to the movie.
Gravitas. Wow.
And then, all right, actors. Right? It's not whatever her face is and whatever that dude is. Yeah, he's swinging at her, but no one gives a shit. When this doctor does his experiment, loses his mind, and come back to murder everybody, go, that is what people... Oh, yeah, that is what I like about that movie. Doc Ock is incredible. That's my number three.
So my number three, getting a bit more dramatic as we're talking about Alfred Molina, I want to talk about his character of Diego Rivera in the movie Frida. I don't know if any of you guys saw this movie.
No, I never watched that one.
It's, of course, the story of Frida, played by Salma Hayek. And he plays the role of pseudo-mentor slash lover for a certain while. And I really remember liking that movie. I saw that movie a long time ago. It was one of those movies that I'd see randomly on TV way in the day when I watched all of my movies on cable. But it's a really good movie. And Molina, we're talking now about all of the ridiculous characters. I think this one serves as a great example for when you allow him to be super serious. about his character that it works and becomes pretty memorable.
Yep.
Okay. I'll go back to ridiculous in a minute. Don't worry.
So, I just want to put this on the table.
Take your penis off the table.
But I wanted to put it on the table.
We've talked about this. You can't do that.
Listen, it's not hurting anybody.
It's not okay.
It's David, David, stop it. He'll get his own punishment when he picks up whatever he picks up from this table.
My name is Douglas. And I'm here to tell you.
Don't put your penis on
tables. Penis on tables. Scabies is real. It could happen to anyone.
Okay, so now that I've taken my penis off the table, I put something else on the table.
I'd like to thank you, by the way, for taking your penis off the table. Just wipe first.
There's only one type of role that Alfred Molina must play, and it is either a ridiculous role or a normal role that he makes ridiculous. Okay, there is nothing else, and therefore nothing else is on my list. And it seems that in keeping with the last pick, where myself and Damien agreed, I'm coming again on another. I'm going to call it a Disney movie, even though it's not really. He plays a doctor, Otto Octavius, in Spider-Man 2, and that movie is fantastic.
That's a PlayStation movie.
It is a Disney movie. Disney now owns Marvel. It doesn't matter that Marvel was not owned by Disney at the time. And it doesn't matter that Columbia actually
made
that movie.
Doesn't matter that Sony owns that property. None of that matters.
None of that matters. It is a Disney Marvel property, movie. Yeah. Yes.
You mean PlayStation?
Right.
PlayStation.
That's the only part of
their PlayStation division. Disney bought
Sony. Look. Walkman is dead, so all that's left is PlayStation.
They built a new Walkman.
I saw a CES.
$14. God, I love Sony. They're so dumb.
Do you think it'll be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy?
Probably.
He'll be like, we got an upgrade.
It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
No.
I was reminded earlier of a movie. It's about knights.
Yeah.
And it's also about people that boogie.
He's a great character in that movie.
When I was reminded about him, I went, oh, right. This has to be one.
He gets stolen from.
Absolutely. He is.
In his fucking white, his white half-open bathrobe.
So good. He's so angry. I love that movie.
Cocaine.
I also love cocaine.
So my number two, it's actually from the movie we just watched. It's his character of George in Love is Strange.
That's not allowed.
Why is that not allowed?
It's not allowed.
It's allowed.
Listen, you don't seem to understand, right? Like, I think I gave a little bit of leniency with Spider-Man, but technically at least he wasn't the lead actor in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to put any lead role from this guy on any list, because that's not where he shines. He shines when he has to essentially be in competition for me seeing him behind somebody's shoulder. Okay,
Douglas. He pushed himself into this list for one scene and one scene only. Right? In the moment in which the gentleman came up to him at the party and he asked him what's happening, and he's like, I'm waiting for the curtains to come down.
Mm-hmm.
I almost fell asleep a while ago, and I'm now sad that you made me wake up. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is, during this movie, and I mentioned it before, in the moments where he's with Lithgow, he's with someone he likes. Yeah. Right? In the rest of the moments, he's with people who he's ready to hate. Right? Yeah. Even if he liked them in a small capacity, right? Now that he's around them and they refuse to let him sleep,
yeah.
Right? He's ready. He doesn't do it in a way that Damien can appreciate,
hey.
Right? But you can see that he's ready to murder all of these people at one point or another.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I'm going to kill you all.
Moments like that is why I think this character works for me. And makes a list. That, and I just didn't want to repeat Dr. Octopus.
That's Doc Ock. Okay, so my number one. So recently, well, not recently, maybe a couple of years ago, this guy got fired from running a TV show about school children.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to go fuck everybody else and do a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And on that cartoon, Alfred Molina played the devil.
He's the devil.
Okay. This is my number one.
Not the cheat.
Oh,
that is absolutely my favorite.
My goodness. I love that show. I love Alfred Molina. If you put those two things together, it is just awe-inducing.
Cookies and cream in this dish. So good. In the year of our Lord, 1999, there was an actor with...
Yes, I see the picture.
In his prime, he just done The Mummy, just done some other shit. And they said, hey, what if we make a Dudley Do-Right movie? And he said... I'm a no talent hack. Of course, I'm talking about that. Then I went, oh, we've made a terrible mistake. But we still have to make this movie. Who can we get?
Let's Molina the shit out of this movie. Molina up.
They said, hey, Johnny Depp, what are you doing? He's like, fuck you guys, I'm doing Pirates. I said, well, we don't need you. Molina is over there and he's always ready. He played Dudley. He played Snidely Whiplash. I remember hating.
I never actually watched
this hating a lot of this movie.
But.
Except I hated Brendan Fraser. I hated whatever woman that was alongside. It was just garbage.
Wasn't it Hurley that was in this movie? Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I remember the villain in this.
Oh, no, and it was, no. Maybe I'm thinking of Bewitched or Bedazzled.
Sarah Jessica Parker was nobody.
Yeah.
I'm like, I remember hating all that, but there's something I always remembered about that movie. And it's that they got Snidely Whiplash right. And Molina killed it. When I saw it, I went, that's my number one. He was the only saving grace in a just pile of garbage. He went, that's incredible.
I think I want to watch that movie again.
Don't.
Just for Snidely Whiplash scenes. Maybe I can find a YouTube video with just Snidely Whiplash scenes. I'd be happy. So yeah, you guys already said my number one. It is the moment in which we are reminded how amazing cassette tapes are, because they allow you to make mixtapes of your favorite songs and put them together, including a rendition of Jesse's Girl by the character of Rahad Jackson in Boogie Nights. We're talking about Alfred Molina and Molina in up movies, right? But what if you Molina up a movie with a character that's high on cocaine? Do you get a better Molina than the rest of the characters?
That's a strong argument.
I think we do, right?
That is a strong...
Every time I hear the song Jesse's Girl, I think of this scene.
I love cocaine.
Oh, man.
Oh,
Alfred Molina, we look forward to more.
You're a treasure. You're not... This is going to be the most depressing thing he'll hear if he ever listens to this. The thing I remember most about Alfred Molina, when they announced the PlayStation 3, there was a tech demo that they had his face rendered and was showing the lighting capabilities of the PlayStation using his face. And every time I think of him, that is the first thing that comes to mind, which is depressing. He's been in a trillion movies.
Oddly enough, one of the most recent memories which kind of seems to have stuck with me is, I think maybe it was for this movie that we talked about, Love is Strange, he did an interview with Nerdist, and I listened to Nerdist, especially when I see people I like do interviews with them. And one of the things, like, of course, the question always pops up with an actor like this, who is, as we say, in a lot of shitty movies, even though we love him anyways, where people come up to him and go like, yo, like, why the hell did you do that movie? Right? And he looks at him and goes, pay for my college, my children's college tuition.
It is a job. I have to do a job.
Alright, so...
No, I don't blame actors for doing their job.
Right, no. I'm not saying that, but, like, the idea of him just nonchalantly responding to you about, like, what he... Like, alright, we love Spider-Man, and we love your bit in Boogie Nights, right? But, like, let's talk about this Prince of Persia thing. Let's
talk about this slightly whiplash garbage. I needed a second host.
First off, we need to have a moment, right? And we need to let Andrew know that Prince of Persia is actually a Tompa-approved movie.
Right, exactly.
And he's not allowed to speak about it in any disparaging manner.
That is true.
Because I love that movie. That movie is perfect in the Ben Kingsley canon. Right?
You're a real dick.
But by the way, I wanted to mention something because I had a bunch
the only honorable mention I have on here that hasn't been mentioned yet is his other Paul Thomas Anderson role.
Okay.
In the movie of Magnolia, he plays Solomon Solomon, who has an argument with William H. Macy as he comes into work late one morning. And it's a great scene. Uh-huh. Like, it's one of those moments where Alfred Molina gets to seem really angry and really amped up. Right? Yeah. And once again, you get to look at him and be like, what race are you playing today?
All of them.
So for me, as you said, a lot of mine were taken, like Raiders and Maverick and Boogie Nights. I had all of those, but the one that nobody's spoken about, and probably for good reason, is, so Andrew, do you remember, right, way back in the day, we were probably both still in high school,
I don't remember those days,
there was this movie that came out, right?
It's a high school.
And I don't know if it didn't come out on the big screen or we were just too young to notice. But we found out, or at least I found out, when, of course, HBO says, on Saturday night, we have a new movie every Saturday night. And
how terrible life was that.
My God.
You have to wait for Saturday night to see a movie.
Do you know, the other day I was shocked to find out that they still do it. Yeah, like, I thought at this point that they just kind of throw it out any time. Like, but they still have, like, the Saturday night premiere.
Yeah.
Right, which I'm, like,
holding on to it.
But so this Saturday night premiere starred somebody that we kind of knew from, like, shitty movies like Ghostbusters. Exactly. He-Man. But,
You probably should call
him. Probably should call He-Man. But a guy that we all like. Right? Peter Venkman.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, from Ghostbusters. Some dude. But this movie, right? Oh, my God. Bill Murray was in this movie, and it was... I remember at the time, I loved this movie to death. I've seen bits and pieces of it recently, and I'm kind of worried.
Right.
But a man who knew too little is just this movie. It's like a, you know what it is? The best way to describe it is Detective, what's his name? Mr. Magoo or something like that. That's essentially what this movie is, right? Or like, it could be a Bill Murray version of the Pink Panther, where you have this detective and he's just dumb, right? But for some reason, the job gets done anyway. Alfred Molina plays like an assassin who comes up to him.
I couldn't remember who he was in the movie. I saw it on the list.
Yeah.
And I know I love that movie. I watched on TV so much.
He talks to him, like, you know, about, from what I recall, you know, assassin trade and what's going on. And Bill Murray, being just a dumbass, doesn't even realize what's happening, what the conversation is about. And, you know, his name is Boris the Butcher Blavatsky in that movie. And it's just, it's great. He is marvelous.
Why always Boris? Where's that line come from? Boris. I think that's from GoldenEye. Someone called Boris.
Well, Boris isn't GoldenEye. That was the guy. What's his name? The Invincible.
The only other Boris name that I would think of in movies is Snatch with Boris the Blade.
No.
Oh, actually, they were making was Hagrid Boris in the Bond movies? He may have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was in a few of them, too.
They were making fun of the fact that people call everyone from Russia Boris.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was that second Transporter movie.
Which I have not watched in forever.
For good reason. What for good reason?
What's I'm sorry, what was that?
Listen, there is no such thing as a bad Transporter movie, you know.
I would forever have it in my mind.
I would forever have in my mind.
The car and scrape a bomb off the bottom of the car.
I would forever have in my mind love for that moment. Right, because it's so dumb. Right?
But there's even more dumb shit.
But everything else in that movie.
No! He was on a jet ski and he rides the jet ski.
Excuse me
from
for a
off the water.
Yeah, trying to figure out which one is his.
Right. Off the water. And then he lands the jet ski on the road and it is skated out behind the bus and he flipped the robot off the jet ski and like it is preposterous.
Damien. I don't think you'd find anyone at this table who loves shitty Jason Statham movies more than me. But one of the perks of admitting to loving shitty Jason Statham movies is admitting they're shitty and refusing to watch them again.
No. Right? You find the ones that are truly terrible, like Redemption and all that other nonsense, and you throw that in the garbage.
Damien,
and
I even watched Homefront the other day.
You
love that movie.
You hug Transporter. Which they're going to ruin this year. I think
yes.
You picked that movie.
I picked it.
No, I
picked it. Because eventually it was the last movie of the available in the month. And I'm like, I guess
yeah,
I need to pick one. But anyways, that's the end. We don't have anything else to talk about. Damien, you need to fall asleep. Douglas, you already did that.
Yes, I did.
Don't lean on the microphone. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can find the podcast over at gmanreviews.com or iTunes. Douglas, he's on Twitter at DJ I Lost His Name, constantly telling us about music he's bought. Damien, he's on Twitter at Damien_White, not talking to anyone. He's giving us the silent treatment. And I'm on Twitter at GmanReviews, kind of being random. No love for nobody else.